Congress is on their Independence Day holiday already, and yet they still have left a lot of work on the table before they went for when they come back after the holiday. Most of all, most importantly, is what kind of money will your agency have for fiscal 2015? David Hawkins, the senior editor at Roll Call and host of the Hawkins Here blog. And David, this is something you and I have been on and on and on now, and it starts to, it's unfortunately, it sounds like it's turning into the same kind of conversation that we had back before, not the shutdown, but the whole sequestration deal. And that was, every week we talk about not a whole lot of movement happening. Am I off base on this this time around, David?
No, I think you are on base. I think with each passing day, the mud around the tires gets a little bit higher. Senator Mikulski, the chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee, she's been fond this year of really good vocabulary words. Last week we talked about the ugly stepchildren.
Yes.
Some of her bills. So the word of the week was bodacious. She said she had bodacious aspirations.
Oh.
They are not turning out the way she would have liked. She talked about getting all of her bills through at least the Senate Appropriations Committee by the week they came back from the July 4th recess. She's got half of them done. The other half aren't going to get done anytime soon.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really unfortunate choice of words, because for as much respect as I have for Senator Mikulski, I think the last time I've heard the word bodacious was in the movie Porky's. You remember that?
I do.
And you can't say the word on the radio that came right after bodacious in that movie.
You cannot, but it has good Baltimoreese. It sounded kind of bodacious.
Bodacious, hon.
There you go.
It sounded fantastic. The idea of getting any of these done now before the August recess doesn't look very likely, does it?
So in the Senate, Senator Mikulski is still trying to figure out a way to do something productive with the 2 weeks of floor time that Senator Reid has promised her. He promised her 2 weeks in June and 2 weeks in July. And just to review real quickly, the 2 weeks in June, she thought she had three of the least controversial domestic spending bills packaged into one, what they called a minibus, and it got bogged down in the usual fight between Democrats and Republicans over who gets to offer amendments and what counts as a win on an amendment. They're trying to negotiate a little bit behind the scenes on that now. Seems unlikely that it will get anywhere, because the main amendment at issue is Mitch McConnell's effort to use one of the appropriations bills to stop President Obama's coal-fired power plant regulations. So that seems to be all bollocksed up. And then on the House side, they've got five of them done, I think. Five bills have passed the House, but there is no easy sixth bill anytime soon.
And I would imagine, back to Senator McConnell, his efforts to do something to tie up the coal regs has more to do than anything with his efforts to become the majority leader.
That's right. Of course, right. Coal, Kentucky and coal are synonymous in the public's eye, even if not sort of economically anymore down in Kentucky, where the war on coal, if it is a war on coal, has kind of played itself out already, and coal is in decline in Kentucky. But this is a symbolically extremely important to Mitch McConnell. This is how he wants to show his voters that he still has sway even in the minority, and would even have more sway if he gets into the majority. So he is promising to try and attach this amendment as often as he can to any appropriations bill that moves, so much so that there is now talk of not any bill getting through, already talk of a continuing resolution that would last from the end of September beyond the November elections. And there was some rumble last week, which we're told, and our reporters are told, that it was a brief rumble that we should set aside and not get anxious, that some Republicans would want to attach this coal regulation throttling amendment to the CR, which would create the kind of shutdown showdown as we had last year. I think it was brief rumbling from some very conservative senators. John Thune, who's a Republican from South Dakota, who's a senior member of the leadership, told my colleagues over the weekend, that ain't going to happen.
One of the places, politics normally doesn't play much of a role in what we talk about, David. But this is, no, but seriously, I mean, what I talk about on this show, this is not a political show, but I think this is one of the cases where understanding the politics behind this is tremendously important. Because you said a moment ago, accurately so, coal as an industry has kind of played itself out in Kentucky, but it hasn't in West Virginia, where Shelley Moore Capito, a Republican, is running for that Senate seat and currently is favored in that seat. And she's one of the senators that one of the races that McConnell needs if he wants to become majority leader. So this is all kind of tied together in a political stew that may not be obvious on the surface. But once you dig down into it, this stuff is all connected together.
Very, very true. Very true. Good point. And right. So this may even have, and it's symbolic. It's symbolic in Ohio. There's no Senate race in Ohio, but there's some House races where it's important. And even if it's not directly economically important, it is an issue. This notion that the president, without Congress, says he has the authority to regulate emissions from these power plants. It goes to the whole issue beyond the economics of coal, of presidential overreach and whether the president has exceeded his authority and all the things that the Republicans now are trying to talk about.
Just real quickly, we're almost out of time. Did you ever hear of Robert McDonald before Friday? I mean, the nominee to become the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs seems to have materialized out of nowhere politically. I certainly don't mean to denigrate his extensive and distinguished career, both in the military and in Procter & Gamble. But, I mean, my understanding is he was on nobody's radar screen.
He was on nobody's radar screen that I was aware of. He's right. He was if he was known at all, he was known as a relatively modest donor on the Republican side. A search of the Federal Election Commission records show no donations to any Democrats. So kind of an interesting, you know, move on that part, on that score, too, that the president was reached outside of his friends in corporate America on the Democratic side. So this was, yeah, this was as close to a out-of-nowhere surprise as I've experienced in a little while.
Is there any way to get any kind of feedback, given that this name came out after pretty much Capitol Hill was a ghost town on Friday afternoon? Nobody's really around this week. Is there any way until when everybody comes back to get any sense of where he might stand in the Senate?
Only the kind of sporadic news releases that have been sent out to us by email. Senator Sanders, who's the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, will hold the confirmation hearings. I would describe his reaction statement as neutral, which is pretty rare for Senator Sanders, who's a man of strong opinions usually either way. So the fact that it was neutral was pretty interesting. John Boehner, the Speaker, who of course does not have a vote in this because he's a House member, not a senator, but Mr. McConnell was a donor of John Boehner's, and so John Boehner had nice things. John Boehner seems to know him, had nice things to say about him. So, but I think you're right. We really have to wait until next week, and they will need to do some, obviously, background checks and get on it.
And that's the great thing about this, is we get to talk about this all over again, David.
Indeed. And by then, I'll have read up more on this guy. And I mean, you know, corporate leader, right? That was what I think you and I, when we first talked about this, somebody with strong management experience. This one seems to fit the bill.
Well, that's exactly what I thought of as I was preparing to talk to you today. Is that's the conversation you and I had when Mr. Shinseki resigned, and who did we think he would choose? And as we speculated amongst ourselves, I think both off and on the air, strong leadership experience, strong executive experience, and some tie at least to the military or veterans community. And this guy was in the 82nd Airborne. You can't get a much better credential than that militarily.
He checks all of those boxes.
Yep.
And probably being an outsider, unbeholden to Washington, except for a few campaign contributions, also works to his benefit.
Excellent insight as always, my friend. Have a great week.
See you later.